This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Well, let's pray as we look at this together. In Luke 10, we read, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for that is what you were pleased to do.'" Father, please help us to come to you now as little children, setting aside all pretense of human wisdom, so that through your word we might see Jesus, and through Jesus we might receive your wisdom. Amen. Well, these two stories Jesus told, I guess, will be pretty familiar to many of us, and even more so the third story in this trilogy, the one about the lost son, which we'll come to next Sunday. But do notice the two groups of people which Luke highlights at the start of the chapter as he sets the scene for these parables of Jesus. Do you see that? Verse 1, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. This group is loving being with Jesus, lapping up everything he says and does, hanging on his every word. Then verse 2, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This group of mutterers and complainers are very uncomfortable at being with Jesus. They've become jealous of his popularity, jealous of the authority he shows in his words and deeds, jealous that Jesus won't accommodate himself to them. They're only there because they see Jesus as a threat to their own authority, and so they want to restrain him. Well, as we look at these two parables today, it'll be good to think, in which of these two groups do I see myself? In which do I fit most closely? Am I someone who loves to hear what Jesus has to say and who wants to understand more? Or am I more like someone who mutters and doesn't want Jesus interfering in my life? Well, we have here these two stories about things being lost. Jesus loved to teach people truths about God and our relationship with him through stories. Stories help us not just to understand things in our minds, but to feel them in our hearts. So I want to begin by thinking about the joy we experience when we find something that we've lost. And then in the second part, we'll think about God's joy in finding and saving lost people, focusing particularly on the story of the lost sheep. But firstly, then, our joy in finding what we've lost. I wonder, what is the most precious possession you've ever lost? How did you feel when you realized you'd lost it? And if you found it again, how did you feel then? I can remember being out walking once in the Pennines, I think it was, using my GPS device to navigate. This was well before the days of smartphones with a built-in GPS. And I stopped on a heather-covered hillside, took the GPS from around my neck, put it down on a little rock, whilst I had a drink and a break. then I resumed my walk. And it must have been about 10 minutes later when I came to check my position and direction again that I realized I was without my precious navigation aid. Still, I thought, oh, well, I haven't gone very far. It should be easy enough just to head back and find this bright yellow thing just where I'd left it. However, I hadn't been following a clear path, and one clump of heather looked very much like another, and one grey rock indistinguishable from the next. The ironic thing was that if it had been anything else I'd left behind, I could have used my GPS to retrace my steps and find it. Well, after half an hour or so of fruitless searching, I ended up feeling frustrated and foolish at having lost this thing. But it was just a thing that I could easily replace with another. Well, many years ago, when Rose and I were living near Stockport, we returned from a holiday to find that our house had been burgled. There wasn't much damage. The TV had been taken, which I was actually very happy to lose, but also some items of Rose's jewellery, including a little gold signet ring with a carving of an oak tree on it, and a necklace. Both were precious to Rose because they were family heirlooms. The signet ring had been passed on to her by her father. Well, the police came and did their stuff, and we were covered by insurance for the monetary value. But there seemed little chance of recovering these items, which had priceless sentimental value. Well, for various reasons, Rose started looking in at the windows of local jewellers, and in one, to her astonishment, there was the ring and the necklace. Sadly, the oak tree had been smoothed off the ring, but with the police's help, she was able to recover both those items. Needless to say, especially Rose, was overjoyed to have them back. Items that were unique with the unique associations that could not be replaced. It is so frustrating, isn't it, to lose things. Even things that are of little value or of importance, we'll often go to great lengths to try and find them. I think some grown-ups specialise in losing keys and enlist everyone else in the household to search for them. Maybe if you're younger, you've lost a favourite toy or comforter, and you search and search for it, and then mum and dad tell you, well, why don't you go and tidy your room, see if you find it? And much to their delight and yours, you go and do that, you tidy your bedroom, and then in the course of that, you find what you've lost. Well, tidying up is a good strategy for finding things if you're pretty sure you lost it indoors, know roughly where it is. And that's what this woman does in the second story. She'd need to have a lamp to search for this missing coin, even in daytime, as a typical house would get little light through its small windows, if it had any, and a low door. But by sweeping, she would disturb anything that had fallen on the floor, or the light of the lamp would reflect on the coin. As a coin, it would have been worth perhaps about a day's wages, so an important part of what she had to live on. Or as some people have suggested, it could have been part of a sort of a headdress of the ten coins strung together that formed her dowry when she got married. And that headdress would have been noticeably incomplete without this lost coin, so doubly important to find it. But it's perhaps this first story of the lost sheep which shows us most clearly God's joy in finding and saving lost people. God's joy in finding and saving lost people. Now, this story, I think, would have had real bite for the muttering Pharisees and teachers of the law, to whom Jesus particularly directs this story. He tells it to them, says verse 3, and begins, "Suppose one of you," verse 4. The story should resonate with them because their scriptures repeatedly use this picture of shepherds and sheep to speak of the Lord God and his people. So Isaiah 40, verse 11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Or Ezekiel 34, verse 16, "I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And of course, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. These mutterers should have loved this imagery of sheep and shepherds because it was so biblical. And yet, they rather despised the shepherds of their day. They were people who did dirty work with animals. They weren't ritually clean like them. And they had a reputation for dishonesty. Shepherds were in the group they labelled as tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus, I think, was really getting under their skin in suggesting that one of them could be a shepherd. The prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel had harsh words for the human leaders of God's people in their day because they were not good shepherds. They didn't care for all the sheep in their flock, but just looked after themselves and their own interests. And the Lord said through Ezekiel that he himself would search for the lost, precisely because the human leaders weren't doing that. And it was the same during this period of Jesus' ministry. The Jewish leaders wanted to keep sinners out rather than bringing them back to the flock. Well, even if these leaders didn't like the imagery that Jesus used in this parable, they could no doubt identify with the thought of losing something that was precious to them and being prepared to go to some lengths to recover what they'd lost. But some of the tax collectors and sinners may have been shepherds themselves or had shepherds amongst their friends. They perhaps more readily identify with this picture that Jesus paints. You see, to the shepherd in the story, each sheep is precious. And whichever one it is that is lost, he's going to go after it. Whether it's the young one who's only just learning how to be part of a flock, or the mischievous one that's always getting into trouble, or the lame one who struggles on rocky ground, or the dopey one who never knows where he is or what time of day it is, or the old one who can't keep up with the rest. And he doesn't just go after it. He goes after it until he finds it. Just like the woman with her searching for her coin. She searched until she found it. Now, I gave up my search for my GPS after less than an hour because I felt I could manage without it and I needed to get back to where we were staying. But this shepherd is so committed to his sheep, his identity so tied to theirs, that he cannot tolerate the thought of even one being lost. His search will continue until he finds the one that has gone astray, whether that takes hours or even days. When you imagine the trouble and hardship he may have to go through to find this poor sheep, the cuts and bruises from scrambling over rocks, the tiredness and thirst from climbing up and down hills for hours on end, the disappointments when one idea after another of where the creature might have got to prove wrong, the fears of what might have happened to it. You can imagine, can't you, the joy in eventually finding it alive and bringing it home, real cause for celebration. Well, of course, it is just a story Jesus told, but it's such a brilliant picture of how Jesus thinks about us and the joy he has in saving us, even though he had to go through death on a cross to reach us. As Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus rejoices when we are found by him, when we turn from going our own way to following him. But it's not just Jesus who is full of joy. The whole of heaven rejoices. Look at verse 7. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Jesus loves to save us when we are lost. I wonder who's going to bring that joy to Jesus today? Could it be you? Are you someone who knows you're not right with God? Are you ready to repent and come to Jesus? He longs to welcome you. Well, Jesus goes on in John 10 to say, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. If Jesus has rescued me, I'll surely rejoice in that. But I mustn't think that God's purposes are therefore complete. Ah, I'm saved. Everything's fine. No, there are many other lost sheep too that need rescuing and who will equally bring Jesus great joy as he finds them. And that must surely be a priority for us too, mustn't it? Seeing others coming to know Christ as their shepherd and rejoicing in their salvation. At the start, I suggested we think about which of those two groups hearing these stories we fit most closely. Do we love to hear about people putting their trust in Jesus as he seeks them out, whoever they are, whatever their background, whatever they've done? Perhaps thinking about some of the residents at Yeldall Manor, who've wonderfully turned to Christ. Isn't it great to hear of their stories? But would we be glad to welcome them to be part of the same flock as us, welcome them into our church, into our homes? Or am I more like someone who mutters and doesn't want Jesus interfering in my life? Perhaps someone who denies that I need Jesus? Well, this would tell us a lot about whether our hearts are aligned with Jesus or not, isn't it? But whichever group we fit best, it won't change Jesus' joy in rescuing the sinners he came to save. Question is, will we share in that joy? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are so committed to us. Thank you that Jesus has gone out of his way to find us and rescue us. Thank you that he came into this world as a man and went to the cross and rose again so that we could be part of your flock. Thank you for showing us that you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the whole of heaven are overjoyed when we turn and put our trust in you. Lord, we want to share in that joy in seeing others coming to Jesus, our family members, our friends, and people who may be very different from us, but whom you love just as much. Please give us opportunities to encourage them to look to Jesus and to keep us praying for them. Please help us to welcome all whom you welcome into your family. For Jesus' sake, amen.